Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. My guest today, Dara O'Brien, Ireland's Minister for Transport and Minister for Climate, Energy and the Environment. His party, Fianna Fáil, is leading the current government in a coalition with Fine Gael. Dara O'Brien, thank you so much for joining us today. Let's start with this major energy crisis happening right now. The Strait of Hormuz has now been mostly shut down for the better part of a month, with major effects on energy prices and more broadly on the global economy. First of all, how is Ireland faring and how resilient is your country when it comes to crises like the one we have in Hormuz?
Well, firstly, I'd say, look, the crisis in the Middle East is affecting all of our citizens across the EU, and Ireland is not immune from that. We've seen quite significant price shocks, particularly with, obviously, with fossil fuel, particularly our transportation sector. And it is having a very disruptive effect right away across the EU. Now, in Ireland, our reserves are robust. We've no issue with supply at the moment. But I think for us in Ireland, like our EU colleagues, the issue is price. You know, this is the second big wake-up call that the European Union has had post the outbreak of the war in Ukraine with the illegal Russian invasion. Now the Strait of Hormuz. And it does really point to the risks to our citizens, to our competitiveness as well, because of a continued over-reliance on products from third countries, but particularly that continued reliance on fossil fuel.
And you just mentioned that reliance on third countries. Like many countries, Ireland has some reserves of fossil fuel, but it imports virtually all of its oil, a good chunk of its gas. It sits at the end of a long supply chain. Has this crisis exposed vulnerabilities in Ireland's system?
Look, our reserves are good and our supply chains are still robust. But it does lead us to redouble our efforts on electrification. We've done very well in Ireland, if I take the transport sector in relation to electric vehicles, and that we're seeing that really expand over the start of this year. And I think our citizens are responding to the crisis that they see. And yes, you're correct. We import about 80% of our gas. Domestically, we produce about 20%. And that gas comes from Britain, actually, through an interconnector there. But all of our oil is imported. And particularly in our regions, oil is critically important. Now, when you look at our productive capacity across, let's say, agriculture, for argument's sake, there is a heavy dependence on refined product like diesel. And whilst the supply is not impacted, price has been. And that's why in Ireland, we made a significant intervention financially, one of the largest per capita in Europe, of a €755 million intervention to bring down costs of particularly fossil fuel, but focusing at the productive sectors, like our haulage sector that are critical to supply chain, and like our food production sector as well. And so that has, for the moment, obviously softened the increases. That's not something that's sustainable into the future. And I think the European Union has a significant role to play in this as well, particularly to ensure that we accelerate electrification now and that we continue to deliver renewable sources of energy, which we've done well in Ireland. We're the number one country for integration of renewables into our electricity grid. And we need to accelerate that further right the way across the European Union.
Now, obviously, the most visible impact for people, not necessarily countries, around the world has been the rising price of gas at the pump. There have been nationwide protests in Ireland over surging fuel prices. What concretely has the government done to help everyday Irish people to get over this crisis?
Yeah, well, firstly, there's an understanding in Ireland and our citizens that, you know, this is a global crisis, and it is, and every country is grappling with that and trying to soften the increases and the blows of those increases for our citizens. You're correct. We did see a nationwide fuel protest a number of weeks ago. That has been resolved. It's not something we see often in Ireland. It's actually a very rare occurrence. That has ended. Even before the protests, we've made an intervention. So what did we do and what have we done for our citizens? We've very much for about a quarter of the households in Ireland, we've provided direct subsidies additional fuel support payments to them, and they will be our lower income families, about 470,000 households. But we've reduced the price of excise duty at the pump for both petrol and diesel, and also agricultural products. And then we brought in a financial support mechanism for our haulage sector, who are critical to getting goods and service, well, goods in particular, to our supermarket shelves, but also to industry. And so we've had a significant reduction in that on a time-bound basis. And that's something that we worked with EU colleagues on, that we would have targeted time-bound supports. The one thing I would say, though, that the longer this crisis goes on, you know, no government, indeed the Irish government, is going to be able to deal with every single price increase. And that's why it's imperative that the current situation is resolved. And I'm also conscious, if I could say, that whilst we talk in Europe of an economic crisis that's really affecting our citizens, certainly by way of price, I'm also acutely aware that the situation in the Middle East has led to the deaths of thousands and thousands of people. Right the way across with the Israeli attacks on Gaza, the Iran-US-Israeli war, that there is a humanitarian crisis there. And we need to see that end. I'm glad a ceasefire is in place. We all are, but we need to see a permanent solution.
Well, the European Commission says that it has spent an extra 24 billion euros on energy import just since the start of the Iran war. So how much can Europe actually shoulder some of the impact of this crisis when you see the amount of money that's involved?
Well, the Commission themselves obviously didn't spend that. That's more the additional cost to states who are looking at the fuel price increases. What I think we need to be looking at very, very much so is when I look again at how we can accelerate the delivery of renewables, we need to look at our processes and our consenting processes within the European Union. We do need to deal with this as a crisis, as an emergency situation. We need to really respond now as to how we can deliver more quicker and more efficiently. And I do firmly believe that the Commission has a role in that by relaxing some of the regulation that is there on a time-bound basis. This needs to be treated as the crisis that it is. In some sectors, it is being. I think governments are responding domestically, and a lot of that is our responsibility. Absolutely. But there will be more crises in the future. Of that, we can be sure. If I look back to 2016, when the bloc, with great support from our colleagues in the European Union, we had Brexit, we've had the pandemic, we've had the outbreak of war in Ukraine, we've had the tariff situation with the United States, and we now have the crisis in the Middle East and the cost of living crisis. So we have six in less than 10 years, and we need to prepare better for that, and we need to respond better.
And I just wanted to go back to something you said earlier about a wake-up call for the European Union. According to the Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis, the EU's imports of Russian liquefied natural gas have increased 16% in Q1 from the same time last year, reaching a high not seen since the start of the war in Ukraine. Has the EU actually learned its lesson about its dependency on imported fossil fuels?
I think it has, and I have to be sympathetic to EU states, particularly in the east of the European Union, and some of that, you know, that there is an energy demand that's there that needs to be met. But increasing our imports of fossil from Russia is not the way forward. We have all agreed to end that, and we have, in fairness, I think since the outbreak of the war in Ukraine, we've seen a very significant decrease there. Where we win and where Europe can protect itself better is through bringing forward permanent measures to accelerate the delivery of renewables and electrification across the European Union. And there's varied success across the European Union on that. And when I say renewables, there are others who are obviously accelerating the delivery of SMRs and nuclear. But we have now coming to us in under our presidency, which we will come in at from the 1st of July, we will have the grids package for argument's sake. The European energy grid needs upgrading. In Ireland, we're going to be investing between now and 2030 about 18.9 billion euro in our grid. And that's needed. It's needed to deal with increased demand because thankfully our population continues to grow, our economy continues to grow. But the issues and the challenges that Ireland have are no different than many EU states. That we need to upgrade our grid, we need to integrate it better. and we need more interconnection. They are things within the competence of the European Union, certainly with regard to our grids package. It needs to be tangible. It needs to bring about real benefits. It needs to be backed financially, frankly, as well. But we need to deploy these resources quicker and more efficiently.
Your portfolio also includes transport, and obviously jet fuel prices increases are also causing a lot of problems. We've seen airline canceling flights, skyrocketing ticket prices ahead of the summer season. Ryanair CEO saying European airlines could face bankruptcy. Is there anything that your government specifically can do to mitigate the impact to both airlines and consumers? And is there coordination more broadly among European states on this issue of transport and airlines?
Well, your last question first, there is good coordination between European countries with regard to aviation and particularly jet fuel. Again, in Ireland, we have a very robust reserve of aviation fuel. Ryanair, who are EU's largest airline, or an Irish company, one that we're very proud of, and have actually changed aviation in Europe. Ireland's a world leader in aviation. But there are concerns across Europe with regard to refined product and aviation fuel. And coordination is good. We need to look at where the supply and where the reserves are. We do see a couple of airlines under pressure. Thankfully, that will not be the case with Ryanair or indeed Aer Lingus. But we will see potentially see costs increasing for consumers. Connectivity is critically important for our citizens, not just for leisure, but for business. We're an island nation as well, so aviation is very, very important to us. So there are measures. Have we taken specific measures in Ireland to support the aviation sector? No. I think that has to be done on an EU-wide level. Even when this crisis ends and when the Straits of Hormuz are unblocked, there still is the risk that this could flare up again. So we have to look at our supply chain. I believe as well that measures with regard to the United States and trade with regard to aviation fuel, that needs to be looked at. And I have written to the EU Commission on that myself in the last number of weeks, specifically looking at some measures that with regard to tariffs that I think that can be relaxed to enable us to import more aviation fuel from the United States.
Darragh O'Brien, thank you very much. I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you for joining us on Talking Europe today. And thank you, of course, for watching. Do stay tuned for more news on France 24.